We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Can anybody set themselves in agreement with that song? Yeah, that comes from the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I got news for you. If you can't, you cannot be the instrument or the tool that God wants to use. Because the more that he gives to you, that's the more he can send through you to be the blessing to the body that he chooses to be. So if you can't pray for increase, and if you can't pray for him to enlarge your territories, he'll pick right over you and get somebody who say, Lord, here am I. I'm willing. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this wonderful opportunity to study your word today. We pray, God, that you'll meet us not only in the text, but in our hearts. Minister to us right where we are, and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. If you'll turn your Bibles today to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And of course, today we're dealing with the success of faith. The success of faith. And in Romans 12 and 3, you're going to note that God gives every man the measure of faith. So that's the source of our faith. Not a measure, but the measure. And the measure has to do with the totality of faith that God gives you from your beginning through your end, even enough to get you to the other side. So that deals with the source of faith. But today in this 8:30 service, we're going to talk about the speech of faith. Because once you get the source of faith, you ought not have any problems with the speech of faith. Romans 4 and 17, I want you to see this word, and it simply says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. The speech of faith. God, of course, is our supreme example of being the originator of faith speaking. Of course, in the book of Genesis, it lists many of the things that the Lord God spoke into existence, whereby giving us an example of how the creative power of speech is designed to create what does not even yet exist. It is powerful enough to not only create, but to correct what is out of order. Yes, yes. And so it is also able to make concrete or seal that which is spoken. So when you understand the power of your speech, it would behoove you today to make sure that you're aligning your speech with what God has already spoken. Now, one of the things, again, that you see here, that Abraham, again, is given this prophecy, this promise of the Lord, that he would become the father of many nations or multitudes. Now, God spoke this to Abraham, who was named Abram at the time, who was a Gentile. But yet, because he believed God, and that God had spoken, when God spoke it, he heard it. It created faith in him. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So after hearing and believing God, he began to walk in that faith. At the time God, in the 17th chapter of Genesis, promises him that, he changes his name from Abram to Abraham. And because Abraham, again, means father of many nations, he calls Abram at 75 years old, and he makes him this promise, and he says all of these things to him in faith at 75 years old. He takes this word that he hears from God, believes it, begins to act upon it. His name is now changed to Abraham, again, which means father of many nations. So he then takes the name Abraham, and every time one asks him his name, he says, my name is Abraham, which again means father of many nations, which again aligns himself with the promise that God made to him, and he holds on to that for 25 years. Now, we started there helping you to understand that God gave him this promise, but it didn't come true overnight. Didn't come true the next week. Didn't come true the next month. As a matter of fact, it was a whole 25 years before the promise that God made him 25 years earlier had come to pass. But here is what he continued to do. He continued to call himself Abraham. Which meant that he held on to the promise that God made him, and he continued from that day to speak. Every time he would say his name or someone would call his name, it would be a reminder, I am the father of many nations. I am the father of multitudes. And that faith that was spoken, that was released from his mouth, began to again support his faith. That's why he grew stronger in his faith, because every time his name was mentioned, he heard the word of the Lord reiterated in his spirit, in his mind, and in his mouth or speech. And that is so important. I just want to read a little bit of that before I move into the depths of this message. Look again at what it says. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now keep in mind, Abraham hears this, he believes God, he operates in this. But the word further gives us revelation that this word is not just for Abraham, but for his seed as well. To move in the things of faith, to believe God. Even though situations and circumstances may be dead, God is the God who quickeneth, brings back to life a dead situation. But not only does he quicken what is dead, but he can create what doesn't exist. So even if bringing that stuff back to life don't finish up the business, he can create something else in addition to that, because you must recognize, as this word is very clear about how he does what he does, the word says, and call it those things which be not as though they were.
were. So every time again Abraham hears his name, he's remembering God is able to do what he said he's going to do. Now, the quickening of the dead was to bring back the ability for his wife and he to reproduce. She's 65, he's 75. They were not fruitful when they were a young married couple. So now that they've gotten old and she's gone through all of the stages that prevent her from having children, now all of a sudden this man is believing by faith that God said it. His name reminds them every day, every time she say, Abraham, he say, I'm a father of many men. It's there's something in him. It ain't dead. God ain't dead. The reality of that promise is not dead. It's going to happen. And so, again, the reality is it does. But not only does that happen, that she brings forth the child of promise, but then the creation of many nations spring forth out of the same promise that God made. So that's important to see again. But look what verse 19 says, and being not weak in faith. Why was he not weak in faith? Because he kept hearing his name, which was, again, the promise that God made reiterated in his faith, in his mind, and in his mouth. He considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, which is when the baby was actually born. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now again, this is a helpful holy hint for some of you who don't know how, when God has promised you something, not to stagger in faith at unbelief. You've got to be able to say, God, you said it. You've got to be able to rehearse it, release it. You've got to be able to speak it again. When disappointment, when disillusionment comes, you got to learn to laugh at it. I'm holding on to what God said. Devil, you sure trying to change my mind, but I'm not going to let my mind be changed. God said it. I believe it that self. I don't care what you show me, devil. I'm holding on to what God said. Now, that kind of faith, look at what the word says. He staggered not at the promise of who? God made him that promise. You just make sure God made the promise. Don't let your faith be in vain. If God didn't make the promise, he's not under warrant to bring it to pass. Listen at this. Again, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That was even before what had been promised had been realized. Again, the word says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now listen to this. He was so fully persuaded that what God had promised, God would perform. You see, sometimes my faith gets a little messed up when I think that God promised it, but I got to perform it. And so when I start looking at these mountainous situations, I mean stacking up and being so difficult, I'm like, God, how can I do that? God never said you would do that. He said, I'm going to do that. So he kept his faith connected to what God said. God promised that he would do that. All he had to do was do the possible, and God would do the impossible. All he had to do was believe that what he had been told God was going to bring it to pass. Now, that meant every time he felt the Spirit of the Lord moving in his heart and so forth, that he believed what God had said, he kept alive the promise that God made him. Now, it's interesting here enough, because the real original design for family, man and woman, God, was to reproduce. That's right. That's right. We've taken it and brought it into a pleasure zone that has nothing to do with Amen. The original plan of God. Amen. And so when Abraham remembered, he'd be like, when she called his name, Abraham, Abraham just realized something stirred up in Abraham. He said, come on here, Sarah. All he had to keep doing was what he was doing. Somebody can catch that on his way home. She was old, he was old, but God was faithful. He promised. Abraham, stir up something. Depend on Abraham when he hear his name, but he was faithful to do the possible. I'm trying to make it as simple as I can to help you understand. You can't do but what you are required to do. Do your part and watch God do his part. Now, God was not going to speak to Sarah and she became pregnant. Abraham was the one who was supposed to do his. I don't make this X-rated. I'm going to keep it straight, but I'm just trying to get you to hear me and see the natural part. A supernatural reality came out of a natural reality. He did what he was to do naturally, and God supernaturally manifested the promise that he made. Now that's important to remember again, because when God promises he's going to do something for you, it does not make you void of the operation you must do in order for God to do what he promised he was going to do. So again, he didn't stagger. He received what God said that he would. Now that begins the speech of faith. The speech of faith. You've got to realize, my brothers and sisters, the creative power in your speech again. God, in the book of Genesis, gives us the supreme example of speaking everything into existence, creating stuff that wasn't even there, correcting stuff that was chaotic and out of order. All of that was done with his speech. We've got to be careful not to say what God does not say. And if we do realize how the speech and the example that God gives, speaking those things that be not as though they were, from the beginning of Genesis, it shows you how many things that were not became because he spoke them. Then he gives us that same power. And he gives us that so we can understand it. Now again, we're talking about the speech of faith. And later in the third part of this, we're going to talk about the spirit of faith. Because when you get past the source of faith, which gives you the ability to speak what you say and what God says, and what you say becomes what God says, and what you say God hears, and God allows what you say that is based upon what he says comes to manifestation, fruition, or to pass, is a byproduct of learning the speech of faith. But then you got to move to the next realm, which is the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith is that you live in and not just have an occasion of. See, some of us can learn a situation and learn enough word about it and speak faith to that situation, but then we start doubting in other areas and we start falling short in other areas. But when we begin to have a spirit of faith, we begin to realize in every area of our lives, things have got to line up with the word of God. They've got to happen like God said they've got to happen. And my spirit of faith won't allow me to be hoodwinked by the enemy to thinking that it will not work the way God said it would work. As a spirit of faith, I live by faith. It's a daily thing. It's a lifestyle of faith. And everything that comes up, because I have the source of faith, which is the word of God, been dealt the measure, which means God has given me enough faith for my entire life on this side and to get to the other side in faith. I have enough faith already in me to do everything God has assigned and designed for me to do. Knowing that, it's about exercising my faith. It's about stirring up my faith. It's about speaking and releasing my faith and then begin to operate in that faith and watching God do everything he said. Listen, it's not about feelings, it's about faith. Now listen to this. If you get the faith right, the feelings will come. Get the focus on what God says, and I tell you, he'll give you something to shout about, because it'll start in your spirit, and beginning in your spirit, you'll see it manifested in the natural. Matter of fact, when you get a revelation of what God is saying to you, you get all excited in the spirit. I mean, you see it with your faith eyes, your spiritual eyes, your ability to see into the spirit realm, what God is showing you, and then before it ever comes to pass, you have a good idea of what it's going to be like when it gets here. So when that happens to you, man, God just gives you a preview of what is to come, and you be like, I can't wait till that gets here. It's just like they advertise these movies on television and you sit there, they show you a good preview. And how many times have you gone to some of the movies they showed the good previews of and you got to the movie and the best part about the movie was the preview? Huh? Now, God is not like that. He's not like the world. He don't just give you the best parts. But what God will do is God at the beginning will show you the end, but he's too wise to let you see all the details of the middle. Because some of you who don't realize how great and grand the end is going to be would give up in the middle if he showed you at the beginning what you had to go through to get it. You'd be like, I don't want to do that. Cost me too much. But I want us to look at this because here's something else that the Word of God says that's important. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians.
Now, here is what Paul reveals about this word. Because some of us don't realize that when you begin to have the speech of faith, the ability to speak the things that God says, it may not make sense to a whole lot of folk. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at what verse 26, 27 says, and 28. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now let me just show you how God works opposite of the way man works. You see, man places value on things and on people versus what they've accomplished or where they are or what they have. That's all external judgment matter. God doesn't look on the outside, the exterior. God judges the heart. You might have somebody accomplished who has this and has that, who's this and who's that, and everybody else, you know, just loves them because they're all that. And God will pick a nobody who doesn't have anything, isn't nobody. Folk despise him or her, look down on him or her, and use them greater than they would those whom they assume God would use greater because they were all of that. He'll take somebody weak and beat somebody strong down there. He'll take somebody, abased somebody down, already down and out, and lift him up higher than somebody who was born with a silver spoon in their mouth. God doesn't use the world system. And so what you've got to understand is the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. God doesn't use the same weaponry as the world to get over on your enemy and to defeat your enemy and to bring your enemy down to nothing. God doesn't use guns and knives and staves and bats and all the rest of the things that we use, and in the more powerful artillery, all of those other things. God's way of fighting our battle is so much more different than that. And one of the ways that we learn how to operate in is through the Word of God. That same creative force. If you would see yourself as the image of God, in whose image you are made and in his likeness, and to begin to speak authoritatively what God says. It's not about all of the running, jumping, shouting, and screaming, and all that. All that stuff will come when you start seeing some results of your faith. It's about getting the source straight underneath the skin and then beginning to speak it even as God has spoken it himself. Understanding that, operating in that, brings us to a whole nother place of understanding God. I want you to see something again as we make another thing clear. Go to Mark, if you will, chapter 11. Now, I want you to see what Jesus says, because I told you in Mark chapter 11, look at what verse 22 says. Now, Paul has declared in Romans 12 and 3 that we already have the measure of faith. So it's not about whether or not you've got faith. The question is, where do you have it? Where is the faith you have? Where have you placed it? Mark 11, 22 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Another rendering of this is put faith in God. You put it everywhere else and everything and everybody else. You know, one of the classic examples of this, what I've heard preachers teach and preach on that, is when you came into the church, you didn't check the seat and see if it was bolted tight. You just plopped right down on it. You just had faith it was going to hold you because it's a seat. Could have been broken, but you didn't check to see if it was broken. It didn't even, your faith didn't even take you there. Because it held you the last time you were here. You don't know who was in it since you were last in it. And you don't know, but let me tell you how many seats we have fixed in here. So some of y'all could have got the one he missed. But your faith made you believe it was going to hold you when you plopped down. Some of our plops are larger than other plops, but that don't matter. We just plopped down, and it happened. Now listen at this. The word says very simply, verse 23, for verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, that whosoever, that means God is not qualifying you, you qualify yourself, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, he shall have whatsoever he saith predicated upon his faith, verse 22, in God. Your faith is connected with the God of your source of faith. So if you believe that the God of your faith can back up what you are speaking, and if you are speaking the word, which is the mind of God, then you have the right to expect God to bring to pass or manifest what he said, because when you speak it, you mix your faith with what has already been settled in heaven forever. Now keep this in mind, because I'm trying to get you to operate in those things. You've got to know you shall have whatsoever. Look at the word. You shall have whatsoever you say, or he said, meaning you. Say it. That was an article in the paper some time back. It is stated that a woman had gone to the doctor, had been having a fever for a couple months. They ran tests on her, couldn't find what was the cause or the source of her fever. In the article, it said that the doctor said, in investigating her, speaking with her about what caused these things, every time the woman would get upset, she'd say, that just burns me up. And he heard the phrase repeated several times, that just burned me up. And he said to her, how often do you say that? And she said, every time I get mad, I don't want to curse, so I say, that burns me up. So he said, don't say that for a few weeks. Let's see what happens. She refrained every time she got mad from saying, that just burns me up, and did not say anything. She just kept her mouth closed about it. She went back to the doctor. Several weeks later, temperature had regulated. Now, it wasn't so much, and this is not so much a matter that it was of faith as much as it was saying about a mental exercise, that your body responds to your words. Okay, now this was not so much from the spiritual end. Understand, there was another doctor in Shreveport who had a neurosurgeon, to be exact, who had said that you can speak to your situation. And he was dealing with people who had MS, multiple sclerosis, and how that they could speak to their bodies, and that because the body, in many ways, and of course originally, God intended the body to be able to heal itself through his power. And so the body hears this thing, but not only the body, everything in this world responds to God and God's word. And so because all of it was created through his word. But he was saying that there were people who did not have the reality of understanding how powerful their speech was. So people who had sugar diabetes, as they call it, they got sugar. He told them to speak to their pancreas that it would produce the proper amount of insulin so that the sugar would be regulated. He talked to people who had high and low blood pressure and say to the body, body, you will be, your blood pressure will be 120 over 80. I want you to hang right there, 120 over 80, or wherever it was that they needed it to be. He said, and when he got people to doing that, they were amazed that without medicine and without all these other things, the body started responding to their speech. Now, here's what you don't understand. When you speak, your body and everything in your mind begins to line up with what you say. And you're going to understand this as we go through the Word of God and continue to show you the power of your speech. A lot of things happen to you because you speak them into existence. Or a lot of places you remain because you keep yourself in that position. Now listen, nobody is saying,